In that movie, The Godfather, in the beginning scenes, it opens with Don Corleone, the mafia boss. And a man comes before him, and he tells him the story about his daughter having been assaulted and dishonored, and that the police haven't been able to help him at all. And so he tells Don Corleone he's there for justice. And the Corleone asks him, and now Corleone's a man who's put hits out on many men, has killed many men. He says, "What do you want me to do for you?" And the man comes over and he whispers in his ear, he wants these men dead. And Don Corleone says to him, "You come here and you ask me to kill someone for money." And the man says, "No, I ask you for justice." And Don Corleone responds, "It is not justice. Your daughter is still alive." Don Corleone, this mafia boss, knows justice. We all know justice. It's put into us at the very beginning of our creation. Even your little children know what justice is. They say, "That's not fair. That's not fair." They know what justice is. What is the definition of justice? It's the constant and firm will to give their due to God and to their neighbor. So that's the catechism definition of the virtue of justice. The constant and firm will to give their due to God and to the neighbor. Now, I bring up justice because I'm in the midst of a sermon series on the four cardinal virtues. So last week I preached on prudence, this week on justice, and then the next 2 weeks we'll look at courage and temperance. Now, I know I'm not too often at this Mass, so if you wanted to follow that sermon series, you could always do so on our website under the homilies. But this is the second and probably the most difficult of the virtues to preach on, because it is so broad, justice, and it touches nearly everything in our life, from the great issues of our time, things like immigration, taxes, abortion, to the smallest things, the way we govern our families, that we owe loans, we owe money. In the scriptures, it's mentioned over 800 times, justice and the just one. And today, the gospel tells us that this whole world is going to end with one great act of justice, when God will separate the sheep from the goats, and those who have served him will go on to eternal life, and those who have not, to eternal punishment. Now, last week when I preached on prudence, I was able to give some tips that St. Thomas Aquinas had given about how we can become more prudent. But it's more difficult with justice, because prudence is something of the intellect, but justice is about the will. As I said, every person, even a mafia boss, knows what is just and what is not just. It's all about our will. Now, justice is also then a very broad topic, because we can talk about justice, us before God. We can talk about between us as individuals. We can talk about between us as individuals and what we owe the community and what the community owes us. That part's called social justice. But because I have to fit this all into one sermon, I'm going to narrow it down to just two main things I want to look at this evening. The first is looking at what is probably the most common or the most powerful stopping to justice in our time, what prevents justice from being done. And then the second is to look at what we owe God. What does it mean to be just before God? Now, the first one, about what is the number one block to justice in our time, can be described as emotivism. It's also been called the emotive orientation to justice. Now, what's that mean? It means that often in the great decisions of our time and these great issues, we don't look at what is just. We don't try to use our reason and to see what is due to another person. We simply tell stories. And so, for example, we can take the immigration issue. Now, this is a very important issue to be debated in our time. Very important. But what do we hear? What is the terms of the debate? Are we talking about what is owed to a person? What is owed to an exile? What is owed to a poor person? What are their rights? What is due to them? Are we asking what does a society owe to its citizens in order to protect them? What does it owe to its citizens in order to preserve its borders? We don't hear any of those conversations going on. We hear stories about families that have been ripped apart, that pull at our heartstrings. We see children separated from their mothers and sent back to Mexico. And it breaks our hearts to see that. And on the other side, we hear stories constantly about an immigrant who killed somebody, or an immigrant who raped somebody. And it pulls at our heartstrings. It hurts us to hear these stories. But it doesn't get us any closer to justice, because all we're doing is trying to play on the emotions. And we're not looking at what is just, what is due to another person, and what does a society owe to its citizens. Where is the objectivity in this? Flannery O'Connor, who was a great Catholic author from the South, said this. She said, "In the absence of faith, we govern by tenderness, and tenderness leads to the gas chambers." It's a very strong statement. Let me read it again. Flannery O'Connor. "In the absence of faith, we govern by tenderness, and tenderness leads to the gas chambers." What she means is, if it all becomes about telling stories, then we're not looking at what is right and true and just. And we can see this in how abortion became legal all over our country. The stories were about women who were in bad situations and had no options, it seemed. And then how maybe they died through an illegal abortion. But no one had a debate about what are the rights of a child who's already been conceived and what is the rights of a woman. There was no debate about the objective truth. It was all about stories. And this emotivism can even get into our homes, and so that we govern our homes by emotion. And so with children, we might say, if we let passions overtake us, maybe we'll say, okay, you're going to be grounded for a year if you do this. You're going to be grounded for 2 years if you say another thing. That's not a passion. There's no objective truth there. And then as soon as the child flutters their eyes or begins to cry, then the heart melts, and you say, oh no, I can't do that. I wouldn't do that to you. What are we creating for the children? There's no justice in that governance. And therefore, there's no certainty. Because it's all depending on how mom or dad are feeling that day. That there is no true right or wrong. It's all about how they're feeling. And so we can see it at that level. Now, if we want to see where it's not ruled by emotions, look at something that's very important to our country. Sports. Think of the Ohio State-Michigan game today. Let's say that there was a late hit. So let's say it would have been Michigan, probably. They would have hit one of our players late. And let's say they're laying on the ground. The referee calls the foul. Late hit. And the other referee comes up and says, you know, I know that guy. I just met his mom. You know, his father abandoned them at the age of 5. He's been struggling with aggressiveness for a long time. Let's not put this kind of flag upon him. Let's not take this kind of penalty. That wouldn't be nice. What would happen? There would be an outcry. We want objectivity in our sports. We want the referees to be blind to personal stories and to make it on what is true, what is just. But why don't we do that with the bigger issues of our time? With things like abortion, immigration, taxes, healthcare, those kind of things. Do we debate these things on principles? In our time, it's so much done on emotion. So we need to purify our ego. Just like with prudence last week, St. Thomas says we have to purify our ego. We have to remove our ego from the situation and to determine what is just, what is unjust, what is due to a person, what is not due to a person. And then moving to our relationship to God. And this is where there's kind of a paradox. Because in the end, we can never say to God, we are even now. Everything is a gift from him. The fact that we exist right now in this moment is a gift that he could take away in a moment and be completely just about it. We can never say to God, we are now even. And that's why in the Gospels, he gives us that image of the tax collector as being foolish, who says, I tithe every week. I fast 3 times a week. And I do this, I do that. He said, you can never be even with me. The way to be is like the good servant, who says we are unprofitable servants. We have only done what we were called to do. With the Lord, there is no chance for us to be equal to him. And that's why in religion, there's always been this kind of excess to it. And so you set aside a Sabbath, a day that could be used productively for the good of the whole community. But you say, no one can work on that day. We're going to sacrifice that for the Lord. or we're going to burn up this animal that we could all eat. But we want to give something to the Lord, and we know that we can never be equal, so let's go excessive in this. Let's take things out of the realm of the community so that we can't use them as a way of showing to God that we want to give to him. And of course, Jesus comes to complete that in its fullness, that he gives himself, and that would be a whole other sermon or line of sermons of how he fulfills that justice. But hopefully that recognition brings us a little insight to the gospel tonight. Because if we're talking about justice, you would say, well, the poor man doesn't really have any kind of obligation upon me. I don't owe him anything. Or the man who has no clothes, I don't owe him anything. No, but we owe the Lord everything. And the Lord has just told us that he has so come to identify with the poorest among us that they become one in one. That to give to them is to give to him. And so they do have a claim upon us. Because the Lord says that's how we give back to him. Whatever we do to the least of our brethren, we do unto him. And so the gospel tonight reminds us that that's how we will be judged. And it will be a perfect justice. The Lord's reign will be marked by perfect justice. And so this week, let us pray for the grace to purify once again ourselves of that ego that so allows our emotions and everything to get in and to block us from looking what is objectively true. What is just? What do I owe another? What does a community owe to its people? And next week, we'll look at courage and then temperance. And those two help purify our and give us freedom to our wills, so that we can move when we see something that needs to be done to be just. Courage gives us more freedom, and temperance takes away the bonds and the shackles from us. And so in this Mass, we pray for a greater sense of justice in our life, as today we celebrate Christ the King, who will usher in a reign of justice.